that having children from kindergarten to grade 7 was not enough, because after that level, to send them to other boarding schools when they are 13, the peer pressure they find in those schools, some of them they can't stand, and usually ruin their lives. So we decided to take another step of having them for 4 more years. That is from grade 8 to grade 11. And what we are planning between those years is each one of them to have a skill, whether electronics, sewing clothes, making brick making, and welding, and automobile mechanics, and building construction. And because I think I told you that in Uganda you might have a degree or two and take a long time without a job, but someone with a skill will always get a job. And that's what I specialize in, making furnitures. I did carpentry and joinery, and I used to make sofa sets and other furnitures and roofing of the houses. And I'd never been a problem to anybody, a burden to anybody. I used to make money, support my family, support the church, ever since I left school. So that's what we want to instill in the lives of our kids, on top of academics and becoming professional in a different way. We want to give them a skill so that they may stand their ground, so that it may be sufficient, self-sufficient, to stand and lift up the banner of salvation in our country. So we need much prayers for that, and the God who started that good work is going to enable us, or he's going to do it, because we have been praying for 4 years, and we determined to start 2020. Thank God, because when I was here, one of the buildings was halfway, and I remember God used Pastor Jim and others to help us put up that building. And as you have seen, we are now working to get other needs which you enable us to start the school. And our clinic, the medical center, the district medical leaders, they have upgraded it to third grade. It is for you who knows about clinics. Grade 3 clinic, that is a big thing, and they are making it. They have requested us to make our center to be the distribution center. They bring all their medicine from there. They be distributing them to other neighborhood clinics up to like 100 miles from our place, and that is a big deal too. We are very surprised. I mean, we didn't ask them, but they just called us, and they said we are up to that level. But as you know, every blessing comes with a challenge. There are now things, urgent things we have to put in place, because the inspectors, they will be always coming now and then when you reach that grade. They are always come to check on you. I mean, to inspect you. So that's why you heard what we need, and more urgently. I'm not saying this because of just money, but this is my second home. I know the church plays a big part. When some people can pray. Mostly prayer. I request you to pray for us, and I'm serious with that, so that we may be able to get what is urgently needed, like 3 birth stroke delivery beds, and each one costs $350. The total is $1,050. And then we want that ultra scan machine, which costs about $2,000. That is what we need in the clinic and the secondary school, because we are not actually putting much emphasis on the clinic. We are working on the secondary school, but then that came in when they upgraded our clinic. But as we are working to the new secondary level, 8th grade to 11th grade, we need 50 beds, and each bed cost $80. This is a two double-decker, and the total of the whole beds goes up to 4,000. And then benches, 50 benches, each one cost $40. The total is also $2,000. The general total is $9,500. God can provide that. And we believe that God, who provided thousands and hundreds and tens of thousands for the first phase, is going to get us there after the end of this year. We are beginning in February. I believe by that time we shall be in place to enroll and let the champion stay with us for another 4 years, which is a good thing, because we want everybody to get off our hands when he's fully discipled, knowing Jesus, and we have developed the curriculum that every kid must go through, which we believe that when someone get to grasp that truth, you'll never be shaken. On top of that, we are giving them the skills and academics as well. So I'm going to do something here different, is to ask Brother David to stand and commit those needs to God so that I may continue. Thank you. Amen. If you don't mind, I'm going to use I'm going to be very brief, giving what God has given me, has put on my heart for you. And if you don't mind, we can open our Bibles in 1 Thessalonians. I don't know whether I pronounced that well, the 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, beginning from verse 23 and 24. And a very good peace sanctify you, holy. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless into the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to put much emphasis on verse 24. Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. Father, in Jesus' name, bless this word in Jesus' name. Amen. When Pastor Jim asked me to speak today, I had a different message, but in the middle of the night, around 2:30, this is what God gave me, and I always want to be obedient to God instead of insisting to what I've been used to do or to speak or to preach. And God sent me to this scripture, and the theme of my subject today, God is looking for a witness, but he's the one going to do it all. God is just looking for a witness, but he's the one going to do it all. God who called us is faithful. Faithful. I like that word, faithful. To do it all. He didn't call us to do it. He called us to be witness of what he's going to do. With us, through us, and for us. Let me say that again, brothers. We are not the doer, but God is the one who causes us. He's the one who do it. Through us, for us, and with us. And what he's just looking for is just looking for a witness. Remember what he said, that you'll be my witness from Samaria to Judea, from Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and to the uttermost part of the world. God is looking for witness, for a witness. The problem always comes to many of us thinking that we are the one going to do it. Because what God has called us to do is not always easy. It's not always in our strength. It's not always in our ability. It's always beyond. And the Bible says that what is impossible to man is very easy and possible to God. Called us to be witness. I think I was here one time and I told you about the funny story of an elephant. I want to say that again in emphasizing this point. Mr. Elephant, this gigantic animal, was crossing the long metal bridge and he saw the chameleon on the side of the road, and he said, "Mr. Chameleon, what are you doing here? Let us cross the bridge." And the chameleon went around, look where he can hold himself on the elephant. Every part of the elephant body was so huge, the legs, the horn, the ears. And the elephant said, "What you have to do, you can jump and get hold yourself on my tail, because that's the small part of my body. And another condition, you have to change your color to just look like me. You have to resemble me." And telling the chameleon to change the color, that is like telling a believer, a Christian, to sing, "Oh, God is good." He changed the color and he jumped on the tail. And Mr. Elephant started to walk crossing this bridge. But because of the heaviness and the weight, every step he took, this bridge was shaking to that side and like that, every step. And the chameleon realized later that he made a very big mistake to hang up with this animal, because he thought that they are going to die. The bridge was like breaking, shaking like, as if it was going to break. Qua, qua, qua. All the time they were crossing, Mr. Chameleon was so much terrified. He was full of fear. And he never expected to get over to the other side. But good enough, the elephant didn't care about his worry and fear. He kept on walking, kept on walking, kept on walking. But when they crossed over, the elephant never said anything. But Mr. Chameleon went everywhere in the communities around and towns, and he said, "Me and an elephant, we have shaken the bridge." He was telling everybody, everywhere, that we have done it. Me and the chameleon. I just want to ask you one question, brethren. Can you see the mistake that in the conversation of the chameleon? Can you tell me where he was making a mistake in his? Anybody can you tell me what was wrong in the conversation, in the message, or the testimony of Mr. Chameleon? Is there anybody who can tell me? Okay, you don't mind. Okay, it's Mama. Oh, that's exactly right. That was what he was saying was true, but he was taking the credit. Can you imagine even beginning with me? And so can you see, is there anyhow the chameleon could shake the bridge? No. He didn't do it. It was the elephant. I think his testimony, his part was to say that the elephant is a gigantic animal. Listen, he has shaken the bridge and I was there. My part was to hang on there, to be there watching, and I'm the witness of what the elephant has done. Isn't that true that many of us, we make the same mistake? When we go some places and God performed this and that, we take the credit. And sometimes God take this glory and we take the rest. I've been listening to many, many, many people, especially, I don't know much about here, but in Africa, you hear some people, they say, you know, when I was in Botswana, when I went there, when I did this, when I did that, and I did that. And you hear God taking this little, and somebody takes this. I think the chameleon was wrong. The same way we are always wrong when we don't give God the credit. We have to hide behind him. In fact, we are just on the tail. We are behind. God is always in front of us. Someone was telling us about the life of Moses, that his first 40 years, God was behind. And what you could see is just Moses. Moses in the growing in the Paris and in the royal family, and he wanted to kill the people and bury them in the sand. And he was like me, myself, and I. That was the 41st years. Then another 45 years. God was changing Moses. And that was not an easy time. This is when he ran and he was there taking care of the sheep and nobody was there. He became nobody. The first 40 years he was somebody. The second 40 years he became nobody. And then the third 40 years, God was somebody. He was behind. And God is always in front of him. And in fact, Moses prayed a very profound prayer when he became nobody. He said, Lord, if you don't go with us, if you don't go with me, I will never make it to Pharaoh's palace. I will never. And God told him, before you reach there, I will be already there. In fact, I'm walking in front of you. I'm the one to shake the bridge. I'm the one to shake Pharaoh and the Pharaoh's government and the army and to get my people out of that bondage and captivity. And the same God we are serving even this time, the same God. Brothers and sisters, God is doing an incredible work. I was so much inspired in this men's conference to hear what God is doing around the globe. There are some people who came, especially in those hard countries. very difficult to preach the gospel. But the way God is really orchestrating his work there, the way he's doing his work, nobody could take the credit. Nobody. Think of the country like Indonesia. I told the brothers in Dallas Church this morning. Indonesia, the Christian, the minority, very, very small population of Christians in Indonesia. I think 98% they are Muslims. But you can't believe what God is doing in Indonesia. God is using and is really, I don't have time to go in details, but Satan rages sometimes. There's one pastor, he had 100 people, and one time they came and killed 9 of them, and 10 of them escaped, and they started having fellowship in other places. But when God intervenes, you know, the Bible says that when the enemy comes up with a storm and flood, the Holy Spirit raises up the standard. When God intervenes in what the devil has done, he always punishes the devil in a way you never expected. This guy, with his 10 people, God taught him something he never expected in his life. He told him to go and hire a national soccer stadium. That's where he wanted him to go and have church. And the guy said, "Lord, you want even the rest 10 people to die?" And God said, "No negotiation. No, go and do what I told you, what I'm saying." Anyway, long story short, it was not an easy process. This guy ended up having 500 people in 1 week. And as we are speaking, he has more than 100,000 members in his church. And they are building the tallest prayer tower in Indonesia. And he said it is costing them $500 million. And people, they are giving like crazy from all over the world. Isn't that God? God is unprohibited. You can't stop him. He is going to cause his work to flourish, no matter the situation is, the circumstances, religion, barriers, or any kind of darkness. God is God, and he's still God. That's why the Bible said that he who called us is the one who is going to do it. That is us, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. And I have another scripture. I got this scripture from Pastor Jim when I came here the last time I was here. And the scripture says that he loads us with benefits for his our salvation. Brother Cooper, I want to keep you on work. Can you read that scripture for us? Psalm 68, verse 19. Psalms 68, verse 19. Blessed be the God who loads us with daily benefits. Right. Another scripture there, I think it says that he is our salvation. Is that right?
Even the God of our salvation.
Even God of our salvation. Oh, when Pastor Jim spoke that word, it never went out of my mind, even in my heart. I've been thinking, and the Holy Spirit was enlarging that word in my heart, and I realized that if God is going to do something, he's going to load it on our heart. That's why you hear some people, they say that I feel this in my spirit. God is telling me this. And always, God is going to tell us most cases, things which is beyond our understanding, beyond our ability and potential. Because we are not the one going to do it, he doesn't care. But what I have learned from that time, that when God brings the burdens or he loads us with something, we have to go down on our knees and push it back to him. Don't you remember what he said, that cast all your burdens and cares unto me? Because he's going to put it in his heart. The only mistake usually we do is to think that we are going to fix it. We are going to do it. We are going to work out this which is on our heart. And we fail to go back to God. But God is always waiting for us in that sacred place, in that prayer room, in that place where you have chosen always to meet him, so that you may bring back this Lord back to him. Because he's the one who's going to do it. We make those mistakes in many ways, in our homes. Some men, they think they are going to fix their marriage. Sometimes even wives, they think they are going to change their husband the way they want. By words, by commanding, by pushing, and by pressing down. But the more they try, the more chaos comes. I remember one time I was speaking to the men in our country, and God brought this in my heart, that if we don't take that to God, we will never do it. We can't do it. There's nobody who can fix his home. No. I've seen so many homes where there is no peace, even if they are still together. Sometimes it's because we think that we are going to someday to make it work. But God is waiting for us to bring that burden, that those loads back to him, so that he may do it. Because he who called us, he's the one who's going to do it. I have tested it, and I have tried it, and I have proved it. If you want to see an incredible work flourishing, if you want to see the great works of God, learn always to him, and cast those burdens, cast those rods back to him, and wait and see how he's going to do it. And you're going to be just a witness of what God is doing in your time, in your home, at the place of your work, even in school. I have many of my champions who have gone through college, universities, and many of them, they tell them that they have not enjoyed the joy and the benefits of the university. Do you know what they are telling them? That they don't have affairs with girls or boys. They don't actually have girlfriends and what and boys in the university. They are living there miserable, and they are disappointed. I have one called Dennis. I think Pastor and Cooper, they know him. But when he finished college and time came, he got married, and he married to a very beautiful another champion, and they have a very good family, and God provided him a house, and God provided him a car, and they have three children now, and their home is now his fellow schoolmate. they ask him, what is happening? How do you do it? we don't have nothing like that. I can't even manage to make a wedding. But you have done everything. Now the champion says, God, he has done it all. And that's why I told you that the university didn't disappoint me. But I overcame the peer pressure by the help of God. And God had a very good plan for me. And here you see what God is doing. He is now the administrator of our school, of our ministry. And God is using him tremendously. So, brothers and sisters, I know for sure that each one of us, every believer, even if you are not a pastor or a missionary, but even at place of your work, your home, and every situation you encounter, God is always going to bring and to load the benefits, the daily benefits on your life. And this is how I see it. These benefits is not just to benefit you. The benefits overflow and benefit even others. The benefits that God loads on us benefits many others. In Dallas Church, I was talking to our brothers there, and I told them that sometimes people, they may think that maybe having a big church with a number of people, that is so great. But I tell you what, you might be here, and there's a fountain. The fountain always blesses those who are far. When it flows like this, it's going to flow somewhere far. That's how we see Pastor Jim here, because the way we are benefiting from the teachings and other provisions through him and by him and from him, it's incredible. I remember when I came here in 1998, and I didn't make any friend. And I went back home and I said I would never go back to America because I didn't make any friends. And it was hard. The systems are different. People are different. The culture is different. And I had to ride a bus from Fort Worth to Washington, D.C., where I could find my brother-in-law, Christopher. And I didn't know when to switch from one bus to another. It was so hard. In Uganda, you just go and ask the driver or the conductor. But here, there is customer service in every bus station where you go for inquiries. But I used to ask the drivers, my fellow black drivers, they could still go. I could not understand a single word when they speak. I said, Lord, if you take me back to Uganda safely, I promise you, Lord, I will never come back to America. But when I went to Uganda, God spoke to me like 5 months later that what is ahead of you, you will never make it alone. You need each other. That's when, I started building to come again in the same conference. That's when I met Ken Wobridge. And Ken Wobridge led us, we have six pastors. We came to this church here. This was my first church to come in America. And find out that there were some few, we came in the evening service. There were some few people here, and Pastor was talking much about Jerusalem and Israel and thing, and I was somehow bored. Every one of us, each one of us were bored. We were bored, and when we were leaving, Some people, some of the pastors, they said, don't bring us here. Don't bring us here again here. Take us to TD Jakes and take us to other churches around. But when I was sleeping in that deep sleep, deep down in my spirit, I had a voice to come back here. And when we wake up in the morning, I told the guy that after taking them to those places, just take me back where we were yesterday. Oh my God, I never knew that God has a better plan. Most of those pastors, when you see them in Uganda, and even some of them, they didn't go back to Uganda. They are here in this country, and when you hear what is going on, God always loads us with benefits. I benefited when I came back here. That's when I realized that that Pastor Jim's messages were not just milk. It was just meat. I mean, you eat and you go back loaded. I mean, and benefit others there. And I came here and I kept on coming until the time of my departure. And I said, that is going to be my church when I come to America. And I tell you what, I've not been disappointed ever since that time. And I've seen my testimony in that booklet of the 50 years ministry. Pastor Jim became our father in the gospel. And he has so many grandchildren in Uganda and outside Uganda in the gospel. If I decided to go with those other pastors, I don't think I would be what I am now. But loving the truth, that was the guidance of God. Because what was ahead of me, what was God had in plan, needed to be grounded strongly on the rock. That when the storms and the floods come, the house remains stand still. And I'm here to ask Pastor Jim, never change. Keep on giving the truth. If they don't like it here, remember that fountain which flows far. And we have a reason to celebrate 50 years in the ministry. In fact, I missed that time here when I heard that hundreds of people came during that time of celebration. I missed it. But do you know what? Even in Uganda, 15 of us, my board and other leaders, we gathered together and we celebrated the 20 years of ministry. I mean, the 20 years connection, because it has been 20 years and more since we are connected to Emmanuel Church. And some of you have made it in Uganda. You are a witness of what God is doing in our country. Ordinary people for extraordinary work. God is just looking for the witness. And not only that, for the people who are going to listen and obey. And obey means that you know for sure that he who calls you is going to do it. You are not the one who actually do it. I remember when I first invited Pastor Jim to come to Uganda, he said, no, I'm not coming. And I said, Pastor, can you pray? And he said, no, I'm not going to pray. But ever since he came back to himself and I said, okay, let me go to Uganda. You see what an incredible work that God has done. After that, I just want to give you another scripture that I got this morning, Genesis 22 and verse 2. It talks about Abraham. Abraham, God told him to go and sacrifice Isaac. And that was very hard. This is somebody, a kid he got in his old age. It is very hard. But God told him to give him as a sacrifice. And he told him that I'm going to show you where you are going to take to do that sacrifice. One of the mountains, Mountain Moriah, to go and sacrifice him there. You see, I can picture Abraham going with this kid. His heart was confused. Loaded. This benefit. And not only that, he's climbing a mountain. Climbing a mountain. You Americans, you are, most of you, you are good of it. One time when I came here to be prayed and commissioned to go back and speak to my fellow man after studying the curriculum of EDCO, it happened in Phoenix, Arizona. But after the first part of the ceremony, they told us that the prayer is going to be made up on the mountain. They have a prayer mountain behind the church, and it's a tall mountain. But everybody were about 300 people, and I was only one from Africa. But anyway, I didn't see anybody resting. But they went like this until everybody reached on the top. But I rested 6 times. And I did nothing. They were waiting for me and just encouraging me, say, Joel, come on, you're almost there. You will make it here, please, come on. And when I was about to get there, they got hold of my hands and they pulled me up on the peak of the mountain. And all of them, they prayed for me for about 10 minutes. They prayed for me. And from that time, I had a voice that as far as your eyes can see, when you go back to Uganda, everywhere you step your foot, I've given you that place. And I remembered what God told Abraham. So Abraham had to climb the mountain and reach there, putting on the wood. And the son asked him, where is the sacrifice? And he said, God will provide. God, he called me and he will provide. Just confessing, but he didn't know whether God is going to provide anyway. But when he was trying to, he pulled up the sword, then the voice came and he said, don't do it. Now I know that you believe me and you're trusting me. Look. And when we looked, he looked on the other side, there is the lamb prepared by God as a sacrifice. And I think that is the figure. I mean, that was a sign of Jesus Christ, who was going to be sacrificed for all people. God is going to do it. He's waiting for a witness. He's looking for a witness, and someone who is going to listen and obey. But God Himself is the one going to do the work. As I said, I tried it, tested it, and proved it. I was praying, and God brought me this in my mind about the story of feeding 5,000 people. That was a big miracle. This is when Jesus was preaching and teaching the word of God, preaching the kingdom of God. And the disciples came and they said, Master, they are tired. They are hungry. Let them go and buy food from the nearby markets. They have to feed their kids. And listen to what Jesus said. No, they will faint in the way. You can't send them like that. Feed them. Feeding 5,000 people. What I mean, this was a daily benefit. Taught them to feed them. But the Bible says that Jesus knew what he was going to do. But he first challenged them to feed them. Listen, I thank God for the disciples. They learned how to listen and obey their master. They started having committees and discuss how they are going to do this, and they talked about the remaining amount of money they had in the treasure there, and they said it's just nothing compared to the number of people, until one of them came up with an idea, and they said, oh, there is a young boy here with only 5 loaves, bare loaves, and 2 fish. But listen what the part of his suggestion. He said, but what is that compared to the number of people? There are too many. That is always the mistake we do. We always compare what God is talking about with what we have. We have these little ones. We can do nothing. Let me tell you, the Bible says that a little with God is better than much without God. This is what I always tell my people back home, never despise the days of small beginnings. Never despise the small things. Never despise what you have. Even throughout the Bible, there are so many people and good examples. Like that lady who was collecting wood and eat the last meal and die with his son. And there, Elijah showed up, and he said, give me food, I'm hungry. And he said, oh, we just have only one meal for me and my kid. And after eating that one, no more hope, we are going to die. That little we have, when God shows up, is going to expand it. God can always expand something we have never expected. God wants to do tremendous work out of nothing. Out of nothing. That's what he told Moses, what do you have in your hand? And it's just a mere rod, it's just a stick. And that's all, that's enough. That is enough to shake, fellow. I'm going to use that one, and I'm going to shake the whole government of a stronger man ever lived in Egypt. A certain lady had just a small bottle of oil. He said, I have nothing but only a small bottle of oil. And the man of God told him, please go and collect so many containers from your neighborhood. And they start pouring that oil. I never despise the days of small beginnings. God always begins small, but he ends up expanding it from one step to another, from glory to glory. He was born in Bethlehem in a manger, but he grew up in Bethlehem, I think so. But he died in Jerusalem. He goes up like that, step by step. So never think that maybe you are nothing, or maybe you have nothing to offer. If you have completely nothing, you still have prayers. I believe prayer is God, is something God more expected from the church, because prayer inviting God to intervene. That's what I told the people in Uganda, those 70 years and higher. I said there's no retirement in the kingdom of God. When you are done doing anything because of your age and your body, weaky, but so long as your mouth can intercede, so long as your mouth can talk to God, So long as your mouth can speak to the mountains to be leveled down and speak and talk to God about souls in the kingdom, about praying for the leaders and praying for the pastors, praying. That is one of the fundamental work God is expecting us to do, is to talk to him and ask him to intervene. Let thy kingdom come. And thy will be done on earth. Let heaven come down. Embrace our place. When he shows up, he's going to change things for better. He's going to change negative to positive. He's going to do an incredible work because he's the one doing it. You know why people are very weak in prayer? They don't have that faith that God is the one going to do it. They think maybe the pastors will do it. President Trump will do it, or Obama, and those 7 in our country. The Bible says, pray for the leaders. When we pray, when we join and combine our spirits and our hearts and intercede and pray and travail in prayers, something incredible happens. Let me tell you something. This is our mystery in Blessed Hope. When we have a big need, that's when we bring all those grade 5, grade 6, and grade 7, and we go to the prayer garden. And we always join our hands together. And I've never seen how quick God always answers the prayers of the kids. God is the father to the orphans and the husband to the widow. Just like my son Jonathan cries and calls me, "Daddy, Daddy," and I run quickly for his rescue. That's how God runs for the rescue of the orphans, because he's the father to the orphans and husband to the widows. I've seen God answering prayers in a wonderful, wonderful way. And the prayer garden is our core of the ministry. We call that the core of the ministry, where we go and pour our hearts and travail in prayers and touch the hem of his garment. Because taking care of that number of kids, there are so many challenges from outside and from within. But I've seen every challenge comes to us. Always God gives us the victory. He causes us to triumph. Whether it's need of food, whether it's need of teachers, if it is need of this and that, if the government comes up with regulations and the laws of how we have to put this in place and put this in place and put this in place, always, always God intervenes and gives us a breakthrough. I'm a witness that God who called us is the one going to do it. And he has been ever doing it. And I want to thank you so much, brothers, for being part of what God is doing in our country. Thank you for coming to Uganda. And I've been thinking about what God, when you celebrated here, 50 years, we celebrated their 20 years connection, divine connection. And I was thinking what God has done, apart from the messages, the word of truth that set us, our families free and our women and wives rejoiced because of the messages. Remember, what always my wife reminds me is what Pastor Jim said, that we take the burdens and they take the blessings. So, I mean, apart from all that, other provisions, I can't imagine now having 45 acres of land. And we have dormitories and we have prayer gardens. We installed electricity from a far distance, and we have the soccer field. We have pigs and we have cows and we have fields. Just recently, we bought 20 acres of land where we are growing our own food. And just recently, I called there. Our manager said that there are 65 people now working. They are planting seeds of corns in the soil. 60 benefiting, planting quickly because we had to do it quickly. And the tractor, the wonderful machine that has actually is the work for us to be done quickly. When I talk about just recently, let me tell you this. I don't have much time, I think. Someone from West Virginia is a pastor of 12 people, only 12 people. He called me and he said, I'm coming. God told me to come and I'll tell you what God has told me to do. And he came and he said, God spoke to me clearly that I have to buy a van for you. And that time I was traveling, I was working on the balance of the land, which we had to pay. It was a load on my on my shoulders, in my heart. The guy, the owner, wanted his money. Otherwise, he was going to change his mind. And I told the guy that, you know what? We have this big, urgent need. Why don't we? I have this van, though it is old, but it can serve the purpose. It can keep on running. Why don't we use this money and pay this land? And he said, you know what, Pastor Joel? God spoke to me clearly. And he told me to buy a van. And I can't go back without doing that. We went to the to places where they are selling the vans, and we got this one, and he didn't have enough money to buy that one, and he called back home and he said, you guys help me here. I had him on phone talking to people back home, you help me here. And he got all the balance he needed and he purchased the van. And he came back to America. That's only the work he did. To come, do what God told him to do, and come back home. Some few months later, the land was paid. I got the money from here through Pastor Jim, and we paid the land. And I realized later that the place where we bought the 20 acres, this van which I had was not capable enough, was not strong enough to ride back and forth. We needed a four-wheel drive van, still in good shape and good condition to be able to handle those potholes and hills, and especially when it rains, you just put on another gear and all the four wheels just take you. God who called us is the one to do it. You can't imagine this. We got the land, we got the tractor, we got the silos, the bins where to store the corns. Almost the same month. And God used different people. And no one knew each other. But God knew what we needed. Then May humbled me and I said, Lord, who called us? You are the one going to do it. But I tell you what God has done through this ministry. We have a reason to rejoice the 50 years. We have to rejoice. Just recently, like a month ago, we have opened up another clinic where I was born. This idea came when my mom died. I was in this country and I missed the last words of my mother, as well as preaching the gospel on his funeral. So when I went back, God gave me an idea, because I knew that our mother was the point of contact. Now we are going to be scattered. There's no way we are going to be meet again. But what happened? I didn't tell them that, come back and I preach the gospel to you. God gave me an idea, the wisdom, and I told them that let us come back and celebrate the legacy of our mother, the good work that our mother did to us. Oh, everybody was excited. Almost 200 people came, and we spent 3 days together. And the last day, that's when I preached, and 15 people got saved. But only 5 of them were coming from that community. The rest came from far distances. But when I saw those 15 souls, I said, bye-bye, Mom. See you later. That's enough. But do you know what? That is from those 5 people. Now the church is over 100 adults and so many kids coming every Sunday in that church. Not only that, because that is was a very hard place to preach the gospel. It was the source of voodoo. We grew up in that darkness, knowing nothing but satanic demons, evil spirits, bewitched and witch doctors. That God brought us from that junk. And it was very hard to accept the church to be started in that area. But that's how, the simple way, God started that church. And now we have a building as big as this one here in that small village. And God spoke to me. What came in my heart, this is the Lord. That the benefit that God loads us the benefits. My mom died shortly before the doctor arrived, because he was coming from a far, far distance. And I said, Lord, how many others are going to die like that? We need a clinic. Clinic. Long story short, like a month ago, we opened up that clinic you saw in the last picture, and many people are benefiting. He loads us with benefit, and because he's our salvation. I think God is looking for one man, one woman, who is going to listen and obey, and God is going to do the work. We have a school there now, up to grade 5. But you know what? The teachers started living in my mom's house because it was empty. But I didn't want that. God has already provided. We have already constructed the teacher's quarter. Now the school and everything we need, it's on its land, not that inherited land. And the whole community, people, they are bringing their witchcraft. They are bringing their satanic things and rituals and put them on fire. And they are giving their hearts to God. That's a big miracle. You may not see it yourself, but me who grew up in that area, that is enough to humble me and worship and praise God forever. Psalms 46:10 says, be still, and you will know that I'm God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God of all creations, who spoke this world into existence and all the creatures thereof, is the same God who is working with the church, who is waiting for the witness, who is waiting someone to obey, and is going to do an incredible work. The one who called us is the same one going to do it. Our work is to obey. receive those rods of benefit and take them back to him and let him do it. Our work is there to be there to witness what God is doing. I see that in Uganda and many other places I go. And it's always very exciting. This is the last one. One time Pastor Jim took me to somebody and I never wanted to go. I didn't want to go to this guy. And pastors, we went to him and good enough, we found when he was not around. I said, okay, this is good. But pastor said, okay, we shall come back. We shall come back here. Oh, I said, my God. Okay. So we went back. You know, when we reached in the house, the wife talked to her husband and said, do you remember a week ago? We prayed that since we are weak, we can't go to people. We asked God to bring people to us to bless. When I heard that, I said, my goodness, God who called us is the one to do it. We went when he had already spoken to them and prepared them, just the same way God prepared a lamb for Abraham to give the sacrifice. What comes in our way, whichever way it is big, let us not look at that mountain, but let us tell the mountain to see our big God who lowers the mountains and levels the valley. That's what the Bible says. And they make the crooked ways straight for us to go through. The one who parted the water is the same God who is doing it even now. The Lord who brought down the giant Goliath in the hands of David with a very small stone is the same God doing the work with his people. But he's looking for someone who is going to be a witness, not to take the credit, but witness of what he's doing, what he is and what he has made us to be and what he's doing in our time. The God who called us is the one going to do it his way. And he has done it. I want to pray for you, brothers and sisters. That's what I feel in my spirit. I'm praying for sick people and other needs. I'm also going to include praying for us to have an ear that we hear what the Spirit of the Lord says to the church and to the individual people like you. Because he's a relation God. I mean, he's person to person. He's not just a religious guy, but he speaks to individuals. The problem is not to listen. And sometimes we listen and we get so many questions asking how we are going to do it. How are we going to do it? Instead of taking back it to him and wait and see how he's going to do it. But my prayer today, as I said, God told us to pray for the sick and ask him to meet other needs because he's sufficient for all the needs of his people. That's what I know. And I've really testified to be true. But on top of that, let me pray that God continue to open up our eyes, our inner ears, to sensitize his small soft voice in the inner part of our lives there, in the spirit there, and obey. And obey. And when you prove it true that he is God, never hesitate to do it. But you have to prove whether he's God. Once he's God, God is going to do it. I don't have enough time to tell you all the details of what God has done But I know that it's the same God who loves us all. And he wants to do an incredible work. In your home, at the place of your work, and everything you do. The Bible says that whatever you do, don't do it as serving people. Do it as serving God, knowing for sure that God blesses the diligent and the faithful. In every capacity, in every area of our lives, God wants to prove himself that he's not you. He wants to help you. He wants to expand your heart and your faith. He wants to prove to you that he's the one who loves you and loads you with benefits because he's our salvation. Let us stand up. I want to sing the song. And then right after that, I'm going to pray. You can remain seated or stand up. I don't want to pressurize you. But anyway, one time a preacher said that he commanded somebody to, a kid to kneel down. The kid kneeled down, but inside his heart, he said, "My heart is standing up." But anyway, you feel like you are in the presence of God, you're free. Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in glory. May your kingdom be established in our praises. As your people declare your mighty work. Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in holy earth. Let your kingdom be established in our praises. As your people declare your mighty work. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your kingdom. Thank you for the gospel, the word of God that proceeds out of thy mouth that will never come back to in void. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. We want to thank you, God, our God of our dispensation, who is at work reminding us, strengthening us, bearing our weaknesses and in prayer, and you pray just according to the will of our Father. I want to thank you for what you have made us to be and what you are. You are God. There is no another God besides you. You are the Creator. You are seated in the sovereignty, and your presence covers the whole world. There is nothing hidden away from thy sight. You understand everything in hidden chambers. You even search as the hearts of people, and you understand us individually. That's why you are able to help us, to help our weaknesses, Father. Lord, I come before you, and I bring Emmanuel Church in your hands, Father, and I pray for the individual members, Father. The people of your heart, the people you loved so much, and you shed your blood, and you forgave our sins and washed away our sins, Father. We are no longer stranger than heathens. We are children of thy family and fellow heir with Jesus Christ in thy kingdom, Lord. What belongs to you belongs to us as well. God, who gave us your son, who gave away your son, you can't hesitate to give us all. You went far away to give your son for our sake. As the foundation, as the beginning of everything, as the door opened, as the way to heaven, as the connection to fill the gap which was between us and you. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you for that. And you said, Father, that you never hesitate to give us all things, Father. Father, I thank you for those who are here and they are hurting and they are sick in their bodies and they have different needs. As you know, there are those who having this, they can't even speak out to other people. They are hidden in their hearts, Father, but they are looking unto you. I'm joining my faith with their faith as we look unto you. Lord God, I ask that you meet them. You meet them where they are, and the Bible says that you are sufficient for all the needs of thy people. Father, I ask you, I don't just request you, Lord, but I just touch the hem of thy garment, Father, and I know for sure that you paid it all. You paid it all on the cross. You paid for our infirmities. You paid, my God, for our sicknesses by your stripes. Lord, we are healed. You paid, Lord, for our everything, Lord. Therefore, Father, I pray that you stretch your hand and touch each one of us individually and meet and solve the problem and meet the need in your way, because what is impossible to us is very easy and possible to you. Have your way and let thy will be done. Touch us, Lord. Bless us, Lord. Enlarge our boundaries, Father. Open the door where there's no door. Where the doors are closed, Lord, and pave the way where there's no way. Let your people go through and cause them to triumph, Lord, and have the praises of glory and worship that comes deep from their hearts, Father, as they see you, Lord, in action, as they see you intervene in their situations, Father. In Jesus' name, I want to rebuke the devil. I want to rebuke the enemy. I want to rebuke our adversary. Jesus died and rose from the dead and is seated on the right hand of God. His Lord, every tongue must confess and every knee must bow before him. And he bears the name which is above of all names, names of sicknesses, names of demons and spirits and names of everything. His name is our strong tower. And the Bible says that the righteous run unto that name. And we are already safe. That's why I speak to you through the name of Jesus. Take away your hands from their jobs. Take away their hands from their body. Take away your hands from their homes. I command the situation and the storm to come right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, who gave me power over every situation, over circumstances, over the devil and all sicknesses and evil spirits. In the mighty name of Jesus, bow down under the name of Jesus and let the people of God be free, and free indeed, as it is written, that when the Son of Man set you free, you are free and free indeed. Oh God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for what you have done and what you are ought to do. And Lord, I present each and every individual. Give us a listening ear. Help us not to compare the situation with what we have, with what you can do, because you called us and you are able to do everything your way. It's my prayer that help us to listen and obey. And then you prove yourself a loving God. God of possibilities. What is impossible isn't possible to you. We believe and we have our trust in you, who loads us with benefits. Father, what you can do to one man can overflow to many others. The word that you can give one man can flow up to life eternal. Lord, any blessing that you can give, any door you can open, any spiritual way that you can really engage and employ us, Father, I believe that we shall always look unto you and say that Lord has provided me with this job, and I'm going to do it not as serving people, but serving God. Every good gift comes from you, Lord. Father, you give us good husbands and good wives. The good wife, the good husband come from the Lord. All good gifts, Lord, come from the Lord. Father, we receive it now by faith, believing that God who started this good work in us, you are going to lead it to its completion. I pray for Emmanuel Church. I pray, Lord, after seeing all those people came to celebrate the 50 years ministry of your servant, I was overwhelmed with seeing how someone, one man, can impact. You can use him to reach and touch the hearts of many. And after reading those testimonies and that booklet, I realized, Lord, Father, you can use one man and make a difference in his time. It's my prayer that, Lord, the rest of the time of the years of Pastor Jim and Peggy in this life, Father, let them be productive in thy kingdom. Continue to use them your way. Protect them from danger. Protect them from the schemes of the enemy. Keep them on board. And help them, Father, to hear and obey. And not only him, Father, speak to us, and we shall be listening and obey. We thank you, and we give you all the praises and glory by the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. Amen.